Welcome to A Word from the Word on Sound of Truth Podcast. In this podcast episode, you're going to hear a shorter version of a message I delivered to the wonderful people of Harvest Jacksonville. So if you're able, grab a Bible and join me for A Word from the Word.
We return to the book of Romans. How should a Christian live? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, these verses are critical to understanding the relationship between coming to faith in Jesus by grace through faith and then living out that Christian walk. To actually live like a Christian is supposed to live. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He starts with the word therefore, and that right there tells us that he's connecting what he's about to say with what he has just said. These are transition verses, transitioning from the topic in chapters 1 through 11 to the topics that will be addressed in chapters 12 through 16, which are namely about living out the Christian life. Therefore what? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Now, this phrase, in view of God's mercy, is saying that he is looking at this grand topic of salvation that he has spent so much time explaining in chapters 1 through 11, and that's summarized by him saying, God's mercy. You're not a Christian because you deserve to become a Christian. You're a Christian by the mercy of God. It's undeserved. It's a gift. It's his mercy. We have just had a view for 11 chapters, a beautiful view of the grace of God in our lives, a beautiful view of God's mercy to us in Jesus. Because of that view of God's mercy, therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, he's about to tell them to do something, and you're to do it because of God's mercy in your life and his kindness to you to make you a Christian. Well, what does he tell us to do? He says to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, he uses this word sacrifice very specifically because the Old Testament way that people approached God was through offering sacrifices, blood sacrifices, wheat and grain sacrifices. All kinds of sacrifices were made in approaching God in worship. And now he is about to tell us the way the new covenant believer worships. Now he's about to tell us what life is like in the new covenant. We're not in the old covenant anymore. We're not under the old covenant. We're in the new covenant because Christ has come and fulfilled the old covenant. He's fulfilled the Old Testament sacrificial system. He's fulfilled all the rituals and traditions that God established in the Old Testament that were all, according to the book of Hebrews, they were all pointing forward to the Messiah. When Messiah arrived and accomplished what he did for us through his sinless life and his atoning death on the cross and his victorious resurrection on our behalf, when he accomplished all of that, he fulfilled the Old Testament promises, he fulfilled the Old Testament rituals, all the pictures that were given to God's people. When I say picture, I'm not talking about a little photo, like a photo album. I'm talking about the metaphors that he put by giving them the sacrificial system, by giving them the synagogue, by giving them the temple, by giving him the priests and the sacrificial offerings and the grain offerings, all these, the animal being slain on the altar with the blood offerings, all those things, according to the book of Hebrews, according to the teaching of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, those weren't really providing satisfaction for sin and justice for sin. They were all pointing forward to the ultimate true sacrifice for sin in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. And so once Christ accomplished that, now you need to understand this, we're no longer under the old covenant. We no longer have to go get a spotless lamb and take it to the temple and have it sacrificed because Jesus was the sacrifice for all sin. So what do we do now? Well, we don't have to approach God the way we did in the Old Testament. In fact, Jesus had a very compelling and intriguing, fascinating, enlightening conversation with a woman at the well, a Samaritan woman. John chapter 4 records this encounter. You can read it if you like. But for right now, I'll just summarize and bring to the point what he said to her was he approached her and asked her for water, and they began a conversation. Jesus was using physical, literal water to illustrate who he was and try to get in a spiritual conversation with her in order to point her to himself as the Messiah, which he did reveal to her that he was the Messiah. In the course of their conversation, as she realized that the conversation had turned to spiritual matters, she said, well, we Samaritans, we believe we're supposed to worship over here at Mount Gerizim. That's what we're told. But you Jews worship in Jerusalem. Now, where are we supposed to worship? Jesus acknowledged to her that the Jews were actually the ones who had the true, one true God. But he said, there's a time coming, and now is, when the Father is seeking worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And he goes on to specifically, he specifically says to her, it's not about where you worship. It's not about when you worship. It's not about these things anymore. That's old covenant. It's now about worshiping in spirit and in truth. And Jesus went to great lengths in the Gospels. If you'll read them carefully and you'll look for it, you'll notice that Jesus went to great lengths to teach us and to explain to us that we're not under that old covenant system anymore. We don't worship that way anymore. The Old Testament is not our playbook for worship. The New Testament is. The New Covenant is. He says, here's the way you're to live. We start with this subject of worship because worship is not just a gathering of God's people or an assembly of God's people. Worship is not something you do once a week. Worship is something you don't do in the morning when you get up and then you go on about your business. Worship is a 24/7, 365 lifestyle. It is Jesus is Lord. And he tells us that right here in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Look with me again. He says that you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, not a weekly sacrifice. You don't show up at your church of preference on Sunday morning and stand there and go, okay, God, I'm giving you my body this week. It's not a bad thing to do, say, God, I'm giving you my body, because he tells us to do that. But he says we're to do it in a living manner. Every waking moment, we're to walk as a sacrifice. We're to sleep as a sacrifice. We're to speak as a sacrifice. We're to everything, every part of who we are is committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He says, this is holy and pleasing to God. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, he goes on to give further explanation as to how we can live these lives under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, recognizing that we're still struggling with the flesh. We're not going to be perfect in how we do this. We're going to continue to stumble. We're going to continue to sin. We're not going to be complete in our obedience. So we have to have growth in that area over a lifetime of following Jesus. And he describes that for us in verse 2. Look with me more closely at verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, implying that that's what we used to do before we knew Jesus, is we kind of went along with the way the world saw things. We followed the way of the world. So don't follow that pattern anymore. Recognize that there needs to be patterns and habits broken in our lives of worldly thinking, of worldly behavior. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. I'm recognizing that I haven't arrived yet. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect in my obedience. I got a long way to go. I'm growing as a Christian. I still mess up in a lot of ways. I don't go along with the bumper sticker that says, perhaps you've seen that bumper stickers, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. Now, that sets up a false dichotomy, as if that's the only options, is that you're either perfect or you're just forgiven, meaning that there's no change occurring in your life, there's no growth occurring in your life. It's just one or the other. You're either completely perfect or you're just not any different than anybody else, and you're not any different than the way you were before. You're just forgiven now. No. The heart of that is trying to say, hey, we're not holier than thou. We're not better than everybody else as Christians. We're not snooty, arrogant, think we're the best. Okay, that's what that's trying to communicate. But the problem is there is a truth and a reality that the Scripture teaches that we are different. We should be better. I'm not going to say we are better, but we should be better because we've got the God of the universe living inside of us. How can we not be different? How can we not improve? It doesn't make any sense. In fact, that's the message we see in much of the New Testament is if you belong to Jesus, it should look like you're different than we were before. Not perfection, a lot of room for improvement, but different and growing and changing. How do we change? He tells us, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In other words, you'll be able to carry out the will of God in your life by having your mind renewed, by changing your thinking patterns This comes through discipline. This comes through ongoingly spending time in the Word, in prayer. Holy Spirit, show me where I need to change. And God will answer that question. How do you live the Christian life? Well, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And then once we now have the Holy Spirit living in us, we're able to, by His power, do what God wants us to do, which is to have our minds transformed so that we can live under the Lordship of Jesus Christ 24/7, 365, which is our proper worship of God.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sound of Truth Podcast. If you enjoyed it, please rate and review it. Also, tell your friends about it. Thanks. Music is by Canon and is used by permission. Sound of Truth is produced in collaboration with Harvest Jacksonville and is copyrighted by Brett A. Morani, 2024.